Today's reading is a very short one, and I would like you to open your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles. Look at all those names mentioned in the first four chapters and beyond, starting right back with Adam and going down to a man called Jabez. You may notice that he gets a two-sentence mention in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. And so I will now read verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I give birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. So again, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As we've been learning more about God through the prayers of the Old Testament, I hope you're inspired in prayer. If you feel like a novice in the things of prayer, perhaps you should observe the young discovering new words and watch the delight it brings their parents and grandparents. Now imagine how your Heavenly Father delights in you as you learn to pray. Before we come to the prayer of Jabez, let's pray. Lord, your word is living. Make it alive to us. We cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. May we delight our souls in what is good, for every good thing comes from you, and listen so that our souls may be fed. Amen. If you've heard of the prayer of Jabez, you've probably heard of this little book. It became a bestseller in the US when it was published in 2000, and its popularity has in part arisen from what is often referred to as a prosperity gospel. Follow Jesus, and the blessing you receive will be long life, health, and wealth. Pray the prayer of Jabez, and you'll be blessed. And you can imagine, they sold loads of them. What Jesus actually said was, and I abridge, "Take up your cross and follow me, and you will know suffering and persecution for bearing my name, but your treasure is laid up in heaven, and your rewards are there." Although I'm sure the intentions of Bruce Wilkinson, the author of the little book, were honourable, such an approach is more reflective of our contemporary culture than it is of Jabez's prayer, and shows the danger of developing a theology around a sentence or two in isolation from the whole. The blessing of the Lord is not material gains, but as Proverbs states, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich. In other words, it's the blessing of the Lord itself. Such blessing comes out of relationship between you and God. Many who are poor in the eyes of the world, the sort of people that many of our mission partners are engaged with, are rich in the things of God. A blessing that came from the transformation of their lives in the sense of being made holy, of discovering their identity and worth in Jesus as God's beloved children. Jabez, born in pain, for that is what his name implied, asked for God's blessing. But God doesn't wait for us to ask before we receive his blessing. We simply need to stop for a few moments and consider the many blessings we enjoy, none of which we've asked for, but all are ours because we're creatures of the Creator, no matter our status in society. Jesus asks us to bless our enemies, to bless those who persecute us, In other words, to bless in the same way God has blessed us, unconditionally. In Exodus 33, when Moses was seeking an audience with God, not only does God say, "No one can see my face and live," God also says, "I will have mercy on whoever I like, and I will have compassion on whoever I choose." Jabez prayed, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." Jabez asked God to expand his territory, his sphere of influence. But notice more significantly, he asked that God would be present with him. That's an audacious prayer, and God answered. At that time, the presence of the Lord was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, separated even from the priests, and only the high priest once a year would represent the people by entering that space while the presence of God was there. And I don't know if you know, they had a rope tied around the priest's waist that draggled outside the curtain in case he should die in there, and they could hoik him out because no one would enter except the high priest on that special occasion. And here is Jabez, whose birth gave his mother such pain that he grew up with a name that sounded like "I'm a pain," asking God to be with him. And God answered his prayer. It should not surprise us that the chronicler, that's the person who wrote Chronicles, should describe him as being more honourable than his brothers and record his prayer in an otherwise long list of names. In his prayer, Jabez invites God to be present with him. Where God is present, so is his kingdom, his rule and reign. If there was to be God's blessing in the ordinary of Jabez's life, he must live his life and conduct his relationship with others in ways that conform to the commandments of God's covenant. The Israelites had already been told that when they did this, God would bring them blessing. The opposite was also true. It seems to me that when we think to pray this prayer, we should realize that God has already answered, and we're the ones who may need to change. It requires of us faith. Faith to conduct our lives in the ordinary of every day with attentive hearts and minds, knowing that God's presence is with us because Jesus has already promised that. It means being mindful of God with us so that we conduct ourselves with others in such a manner that we're overflowing with grace, letting go of any anxiety, and embracing the reality of God's sovereign purpose. We should observe that mention of Jabez's prayer in this genealogical record flags up God's grace being available to all who turn to him in prayer. In the midst of these records is the continuance of the promises and purposes of God. Jabez was one of the ordinary folk in the great line of the tribe of Judah from David to Christ, whose prayer is not isolated to himself, but aligned to God's purpose. These records affirm that whatever else is going on, however wayward God's people were and are, God's clear trajectory, with its first climax in Christ, through the line of Judah on which Jabez stands, and that even more so now we can, through prayer, align ourselves with God's purpose, and in doing so, know his blessing. Now I'm going to swap seats with Rosie and we'll see what Rosie has to share with us now.
Good morning. So what do you like praying? What do you pray for? What impact has it had on you over the last few weeks as we've looked at a selection of prayers in the Old Testament? Does it change the way you pray? Has it changed God's reply? And we tread a line, I think, in our prayers, don't we? We want to learn how to pray. We want to pray for the right things. We want God to hear us. We want God to answer. But what is a good prayer? Learning to pray as a teenager, as I grew up as a Christian in the early 70s, really confused me. And I wondered, did God's answers really depend on whether I used the right words or said things in the right way or prayed properly for God to heal someone? Would he really not answer if I prayed the wrong way? How did that make any sense? But we've probably all been in prayer meetings and worried whether we're not doing it right and we've kept quiet, or we feel we don't know the form and we're not eloquent or competent. But you know what? Listen to Paul in Romans. Wonderfully, he starts where Jabez's mother started. He was birthed in pain. So listen to Romans 8, verse 22 and 23 and 26. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So it seems like 99% of prayer is just showing up, making a point to be consciously present to the God who is constantly present to us. And as we do that, the Spirit of God is searching our hearts and praying for us. And as the Spirit of God searched Jabez's heart, what did he find? We see a few things from the words that Jabez used. Firstly, he knew that he had a relationship where he could ask God for things. He could ask God for blessing, for his constant help, presence, and protection. He knew he was visible to God and that God wanted to meet him. That reminds us of, he knew our adoption to sonship. He also asked that God would enlarge his territory. I don't know about you, but that reminded me of that verse in Isaiah 54, where Isaiah talks about, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, don't hold back, lengthen your cord, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left. First thing I thought when I read it was about our experiences of new wine, because I'm not a camper. I like my bath too much. But one of the things that we used to do after the end of every day is make our tent as big as we possibly could by stretching it out to fit lots of people in, as we talked about what we'd heard during the day. But I think enlarging his territory, enlarging the place of our tent, is something about influence. It's something about what Ian was talking to us about, those people resources in mission. Something about how do we take the presence of God more widely into the world. I remember when I first started nursing and wrestling in a way that I remember hurting. When I kind of noticed that there were many excellent nurses who didn't know about Jesus. And I started asking, well, what difference does it make to this ward or this hospital that there are Christians? Are we any better? Clearly, we weren't any better nurses. So what did it mean? I was glad I asked the question, actually, because there's an organisation called Nurses Christian Fellowship that addressed just that back in the day. It kind of said, what difference does it make knowing Jesus in the way that you nurse? And actually, it was because of Nurses Christian Fellowship that Pete and I met, because we both applied to join this organisation and we put our application forms in the same envelope to save a stamp. And that's how we got together. But together we learned how God can enlarge our territory as we take the presence of Jesus into healthcare. So I think a question that's important to ask is, where is our sphere of influence? And what happens when we ask God to enlarge it? Whether we're working in the kitchens, in an elderly care home, whether we're working in the wards or in schools, in hospitals, in business, what happens when we walk in new places, taking the presence of Christ? What happens when we focus our prayer from our living room, which is where we spend most of our time, into a new situation? But Jabez's example was that he prayed that his life would make an impact. And then the third thing he prayed was that your hand might be with me. God's hand will do far more than he could have ever done. I read somewhere this morning that when the hand of God is with you, your life will be a showcase of God's glory. And then I sort of thought, well, what does that actually mean? When the hand of God is with you, your life will be a showcase of his glory. What does that mean in practice? How do we be a showcase of God's glory? Because God's hand is with us. And then the last bit of his prayer is that you would keep me from hurt and harm. It's interesting to me that Jabez was given a name that he didn't allow to define him. You know, we all know that old adage, don't be sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That's not actually correct, is it? Because we know that language creates what becomes reality. So Jabez, growing up with a name that in effect says, you're a pain in the butt, didn't allow this to define him. He still approached God. He somehow knew that God would not consider him to be a pain, but would listen and answer. And he tagged that concern right on the end of his prayer, almost like, oh, by the way, please keep me from hurt and harm. It wasn't central to his thinking because he knew who he was to God. So you are part of the people of God. You're known individually. You're precious and honoured in God's sight, and he loves you. But we together are, as 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. We are the people of God who have received mercy. And so with a God like this, with us by his Spirit because of Jesus, loving us like this, we can dream big. And we can expect that both despite us and with us, the kingdom of God will be established as God enlarges our boundaries. Amen.